Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast. I'm here with Rowan.
Hi, everyone.
And I am Z. Today, we're going to be chatting about rethinking business or like different ways to go about business. And I just want to point out that we're not going through extensive case studies.
Every single way that you can do business in a different way.
But we've picked a business to do a bit of a case study on that is quite different from our listeners' businesses, and that is toilet paper. So who gives a crap is the business?
Sorry, language warning.
And there is a language warning.
Yeah. We all do it.
It's good to learn from this business. They do marketing a little different. They do profit a little different. They do business a little different. I grew up buying toilet paper from the shelves in Woolies, and now you can do it like Netflix.
That's the best story of growing up I've ever heard. When I growing up, I was getting toilet paper from the shelves in Woolies. I think I ever hear that again.
Talking about how many plies you can get, and now you can have it delivered to your door in shiny packages. In fact, I had a Christmas present wrapped in who gives a crap wrapping.
So it's like Dollar Shave Club, but for toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is now so pretty that you can wrap Christmas presents in it.
In the wiping part or the wrapping?
No. Not the actual toilet paper. The wrapping around the toilet paper.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because they come in like a lot of different colors. And so someone was like, oh, it'd be cool if I just kept this and then I could wrap toilet paper. No, hang on. Presents with toilet paper wrapping.
Do you reckon someone received a present like, oh, this is a bit crappy? I'm a dad now. I can make dad jokes.
Oh, that's shocking. So.
Boom ching.
So, who gives a crap? They are a direct-to-consumer toilet paper company and they were established in 2012. They've developed quite the community around their brand, and that's largely because they have a commitment to environmental sustainability. So I think it's around 50% of their profits go towards improving hygiene around the rest of the world. So they make toilet paper, tissues, paper towel, but it's all made from recyclable materials or bamboo. I should also mention this is a non-sponsored ad.
If anyone's listening, we're happy to receive free toilet paper
for the rest of our lives,
and by association, free Christmas wrapping.
Yes, save the planet. There we go. Yes, as I said, they give a lot of their 50%. I think it's 50% of their profits way to improve world hygiene. And improving sanitation globally. Oh, and building toilets as well. So that's their business model. And when it comes to their marketing, they do it through humor, relatability. I mean, it's
conversation. Conversational.
It's not a glorious industry, I guess. It's not pretty, but they've made it quite entertaining. There's not a lot. No, Seth Godin, he, in marketing, the theory there is to create a tribe, and I know we've talked about that in one of our podcasts before, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're building a community of people.
Cult of toilet paper worshipping.
Christmas present wrapping. Pillars. Sanitation improving.
It's a pretty big market for toilet paper, though. Everyone needs it.
They do, and especially during COVID. But yeah, they make it quite pretty, and in their marketing, they are really transparent. So they actually share detailed reports of their outcomes and their charitable contributions and environmental savings. And when it comes to customer involvement, their customers are involved in voting on new designs or products. So They're very open. They're very honest. They don't keep all the savings to themselves. And they support a cause. Now, I have a lot of friends that use this company. And
how often do you talk with your friends about the toilet paper that they use?
But it's not, you just see their stuff everywhere. Like, it's just like you, because like it's like a subscription model or something like that. And so you see that their toilet paper gets like rocked up and they have these huge boxes
full
of toilet paper. Yeah.
You're
and
right.
So it'll like sit in the corner of their bathroom.
Sorry, I'm not having trouble taking this seriously, but I'm having trouble not making stupid jokes. But what do you think the delivery drivers, so like let's say there's a huge box of who gives a crap, right? And it's rocking up and then there's two neighbors and it's a subscription model. So there's a frequency you choose, I guess, like how often you need toilet paper. So like, you know, so you've got this gigantic double box stack out the front of your house and then I've just got, you know, just one nice little one. What do you think? I'll be quiet now.
It doesn't matter. It's a successful business.
No. It's great.
It is good. Now, why are we using them for an example? Well, I picked them because they use their humor in marketing. You know how, but they're not unprofessional about it. I mean, it's not a pretty product, but we have a lot of clients and I've talked to a lot of people who say that they want to be professional in their communication, and often that means quite
What is professional? That's something I've always thought, because I'm in a professional industry and I get called professional and I do not think I'm professional one bit.
I would say, like, if I were to think of professional, I'd be like, you use does not instead of doesn't. Like, you don't use your likes and you don't use emojis. You don't things are quite direct and it's like signing a contract. That's what it feels like when you're talking professionally. But, yeah.
And who likes a professional? So let's turn that into a different way of looking at it. So if we're just having a chat and you're not going to use an emoji – so you're not going to smile at all. You're just going to like passport photo the face the whole way through our conversation.
I think it's a step removed from friends.
Yeah. So, okay. So you should deal with our company because we're awesome, but we're never going to be your friend.
Yeah.
I can get like, you know, if you some things you want to deal with, but the confidentiality and you don't want your friends in your business. So there's sort of a level there and make sure it's confidential. But it's like,
I don't have.
Yeah, no, it's the people's definition of professional is different. So you're saying that's what I mean by professional is we use does not instead of doesn't and we don't emoji stuff. But to me, professional is achieving certain things, getting the right answers. You know, boom, 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 taking care of your business, being discreet, being super good. Like there's some key things around the actual value.
Yeah.
But then to me, I see that if you don't want to look at doesn't, and that's going to mean that you think my job's no good, like you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, so you were saying about their advertising though.
So when it comes to their marketing advertising, it's humor, relatability.
Yep.
Like they understand it's not pretty. They understand what they're doing and what they're providing. I actually heard a story about someone who was absolutely humiliated that their boss caught them buying toilet paper in Woolworths. So there's clearly a stigma.
So good. I was thinking of the delivery guy.
Yeah. And so there's clearly like this stigma that exists around it. And I guess they address that and kind of lighten the mood, which makes people feel more comfortable. So
it's an interesting one from the business model perspective. So there was a few subscription models that came out at a similar time, and Dollar Shave Club, super familiar with, that was just razors for dudes getting delivered each month, each week. And they had a super funny video ad. Put that in the thing for people to watch. But, you know, that just went nuts. I think 4 out of the 8 males in our office at the time signed up. Mm-hmm. Like we just saw the video, went around the office and we all got our delivery, you know. But, you know, the core thing is it's an existing market. toilet paper sales. It's always been distributed a certain way through supermarkets. You know, they have a little bit of TV ads. They've all got TV ads. There's the little dog and, you know, kids smiling and all this sort of stuff and whatever. We're wasting the toilet paper as much as possible, so you use more and increase the sales, Well, you toilet paper people's houses, you know, it's all stimulating demand. But I'm just on their website now, and so they've got, you know, some nice photos of their box with different nice coloured toilet paper around it. It's pretty pretty.
That their clients have actually chosen.
Yeah, it's all pretty colours, you know, big and bold, and it's saying...
There's little quotes on every single different type.
Yeah.
There's like a toilet paper that says, leave this one for last.
Really happy lady, leave this one for last. You're right. That's a special one. yeah, a lady opening the box on her front doorstep and she's stoked, like she's checking out the colours. You know, so it's pretty simple marketing, but it's quite consistent. And then their fonts, you know, a nice little font. It's a nice clean website. You can subscribe or and pay, ship every few months, or you can just buy. And then we're talking before about how they communicate. So it's saying not your average toilet paper, and it's talking about how where toilet paper comes from and what's different about them. But it's in like a conversational way, as I mentioned before. It's not just very formal, which I think is that professional undertone. Like it's formal, it's informal, but it's professional. And things like, wait, are you recycling used toilet paper? So it says that we've recycled, we sell recycled toilet paper. So do they recycle used toilet paper?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
So that's the thing. Maybe you're wondering. This is on the just the page to buy. I just clicked on the ad, right? So we understand why you might think this. But the answer is no. We use post-consumer waste paper, which means recycled office paper, not used toilet paper. Get your head out of the sewer.
That's good.
Yeah. So, and I quite like that sort of, it's, you can say it's unconventional, but to me it's not. It's talking to your client in a way your client can understand. So their market is mass market.
Yep.
Everyone poos.
Literally on their About Us page, there's a picture of one of the founders on the toilet. Sure, we love puppies and sunny days and walks on the beach, but our real love is toilet paper. Why, you might ask? First of all, it's funny. Lots of room for toilet jokes, which we love. But we really, we love toilet paper because for us, it's our way of making a difference. And I think that's what, like, is the most important part here, is they're making something really lighthearted, but really bringing it back to what they're really trying to achieve.
Yeah.
They have a counter on the website that says they've raised over $13 million towards improving sanitation. And they go into talking about how toilets have changed more, saved more lives than any other invention. So
it's probably true, actually.
Yeah. So
unconventional ways to market. The point is here, it's a product that there's not too much R&D or great breakthroughs to have. Everyone uses it, very established market, and really it's just looking at it from a completely different angle and getting it out there, and that's why people are buying it instead of just grabbing what's easy at the supermarket.
Yeah, they're just treating their customers like humans.
Yeah, correct.
And I think that's really important, especially when it comes to any sort of business. I mean, you could be in construction and someone just wants to build a home. Like, treat that person like a human being, not as if they're some strange person that needs to be communicated
with. Not my friend.
Well, not my friend. To put it simply. But you have to think, like, they're emotionally invested. They want that home. So what does that mean to them? Don't sit there and be like, we provide the best quality timber. Like,
yeah, and we do it this way because that's how we do it. Yeah. You know, it's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Be like, this is a home that we're going to create for you, your family. Like,
and that's what people want to
really
buy.
Invested in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a really important point for everyone to take away, is just really people always say understand who your customer is, but I think you need to understand how to communicate with them and not be too scared to go outside the mold of what you see on Facebook. You see those ads on Facebook that are so direct and impersonal, when it could be a business that is – you can see what they're trying to do by being professional, but it does really remove that relationship
connection
between you and the yep. in the buyer. And so you could take that risk and treat them as though they're another human being, or do yourself a disservice and remove yourself.
It's being aware, I say, this is not, no right or wrong way, I guess, but it's being aware of what you want to communicate
mm-hmm.
and doing it that way. So if we want to communicate that we are a bit disconnected from you, where are this level, you know, boom, 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 boom,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
Yeah.
But the, I guess the unconventional way out of this is that they probably use a lot of traditional ways to market,
mm-hmm.
But they're not talking about, do I do Facebook or do I do radio or do I do TV or, you know, do I go to the local networking thing? They've gone, okay, well, what do people want out of life? And they go, oh, people would like to give back to the community, but how do people give back to the community? It's door knockers, you find your cause, you donate money out of your pocket, things like that. It's always a, you know, it's coming out of your budget. But well, what if we can just, they can spend their money on the toilet paper and it's helping them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be cool. And then how do we talk to them like people? Mm-hmm. And that's the key to their marketing. So it's, I would say a lot of their business comes through referral, people talking about them.
Yep.
Like us today.
Yep.
And how can you do that in your business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting, the type of marketing that they're doing. They're making you, I don't know, toilet paper is just something you never thought about. You just
they buy it all the time.
Yeah, they've got even a section in here, what's the right toilet paper for me?
Can we just go through those questions real quick, just for fun?
No worries. Trust us, we know a thing about toilet paper.
Oh, I really want to know what these questions are.
Need help finding the right toilet paper? We've got your bum covered. Just answer a few easy questions and we'll match you with your ride or ply. Let's get rolling. What kind of toilet do you have? This is less about the personality and more about the plumbing.
Yeah.
If you're not sure about what type of toilet you have, chances are it's what just are a options? Regular old toilet. Alternative system or septic tank or regular?
There you go. Let's go septic tank.
Okay, cool. What's your idea of comfy? Camping in the great outdoors or a fluffy bed with room service?
Let's pretend to be Pete the accountant and go camping.
Oh dear. What's your spending philosophy? Basic is best for my budget. I'm willing to pay for premium.
Everyone likes good toilet paper.
Premium?
Yeah.
Okay. Pick your box size. 24 rolls is great. Or 40 rolls, 24 rolls is great for limited storage space and smaller households. 48 rolls is great for getting the best value or larger households.
Very big family.
48 rolls it is. Whoop. Ooh, okay. 50% of profits donated. Yep. Showing us how much they've raised. $13,378,000.
Right. So before they're telling us which toilet paper we should buy, they're establishing that they're donating all this money and letting us see that.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes. They have 22,472 reviews.
Oh, I thought you were going to say options for us.
No. One option. 100% recycled toilet paper, biodegradable for every toilet, soft and scrunchable, and best bang for your budget. Just add it to the cart there and we're good to go. 48 rolls. And it has more sheet dates. Recycled materials, Mama Earth approved, plastic free rolls.
Yeah. And what's the price?
$60 for 48 rolls. Yeah.
Just an interesting theory there. So we just went through all that. We went through the questions and what do you like, what don't you like, established here's what we're doing that's different than all other toilet paper companies. You can be part of this too. Here's all the reviews. People will love it. Which one do you want to order? Oh, and here's the price,
mm-hmm.
which is what's different to the other toilet paper companies.
It's twice the price.
Wow. It's from reading it before, it's twice the length. That was one of the questions on the site.
Oh.
Twice the length. Yeah, correct. So per sheet, it's the same, they're saying. But in the supermarket, it is literally a big price tag and which is on special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this toilet paper price per sheet. It's all price per sheet. It's anything in the supermarket now is price per 100 mils, you know. So they're putting all that stuff in front of it to establish the value to sign you up to a subscription.
Yep.
But it's communicating that cool story.
It's a really simple website. Really engaging. You just kind of want to look through. There's fun facts everywhere.
So to me, that's professional.
Yep.
Because it's well done. It's well thought out. And, you know, it's consistent and clear and definitely does the job.
Yep. Yeah. I just think probably moral of the story when it comes to this business is just – know that you don't have to do what everyone else is doing.
Correct.
When it comes to small businesses, you see what other businesses are doing that are in your field, and they might be doing quite well. They might have more likes than you, or they might have more follows and that sort of thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the best way to go about it. It just might mean that they've been in there longer, in the game longer. Just to be yourself, be your business, know who that is and communicate it.
Mm. And I think some additional things to think about as unconventional is just explaining features or things that you do that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of good things that you do, and it could be building a house. Like, you know, remember you're building a home, right? So if you're a builder and I remember building a home, but do you tell people that?
Mm.
Do you like make it something you point out halfway through? Oh, yeah, this is going to be your living room. We just want to make sure you really enjoy it. Like, you know, where are you going to put your TV? Like, where's the kids going to sit? Like, if you frame it that way, people know that that's what you're thinking about. So they know the value's there. Whereas if you don't do that, but you were just thinking about it and you don't communicate that to everyone, then you don't get the value from it.
Yeah.
And especially before the sale, which I think that checkout process before was really good, they've established all the value points before you've got to the end, not just said, oh, you bought this, congratulations. Oh, and did you know we donate some of this money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're using that to make sales. So you can say it's all a nicety, and yes, they're doing something good, but they're doing it to make money as well.
Yeah.
And we had a chat earlier today about the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been buying a certain type of eggs for 12 years, I don't know, a long time, but the Tasmanian devil is Save the Devil. It's, you know, it's a black egg container, Save the Tasmanian Devils all over it, Tasmanian Devils on it.
It's costs packaging.
Yeah, it costs really like $2 more than the other ones. Good eggs. Yeah, the eggs are fine. And says, well, I can't remember the exact number, but it's like 10 cents from everything. Or maybe just look it up on your laptop. So I'm not lying to everyone, but it's not much. It's not a dollar per packet or anything like that. It's 10 cents or 5 cents. So it makes me feel good because I'm buying the Tassie Devil eggs. I'm saving the animal. But I also think in the back of my head, knowing what I know about marketing, is that that's not much money that they're giving to them. And they've put it all over their whole brand is Tassie Devil eggs, you know. That's the way what I call it. So they're not selling me a quality of egg.
30 cents from every carton sold will be donated to Save the Tasmanian Devil Appeal.
Could we check that? So it's 30 cents. So 30 cents for every carton goes, and it's great. It's a great cause. But I'm buying those eggs just because of that, not because of anything else related to it. Mm-hmm. And that's got shelf space. I've bought it for 12 years. That's pretty cool. But they're using that for the value.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other eggs that I've started buying recently instead because I watched a doco on like the food generation, which, you know, you see every few years and it makes you feel bad. But anyway, but I looked at on the packages how many hens per hectare. And so the Tassie Devil ones were 10,000 hens per hectare, which I believe that's right. You can fact check that since you're there. And for the same price, I could buy one that has 1,200 hens per hectare.
That's correct.
Which, you know, I've got roughly a hectare at my house and 1,200 hens in that, like, they are living the life. So, for the same price, I'm supporting a much better environment for where the food comes from. Now I've changed my value.
Mm-hmm.
But those companies, there's heaps there, don't market that whatsoever. There's some more eggs that have 700 hens per hectare, which doesn't sound like much less than 1,200, but that's
way better.
Yeah. They're double the price, yeah. Like 14 bucks for 12 mm-hmm. eggs. But no one's talking about the lifestyle of the chickens, which a lot of people care about. It makes them feel warm and fuzzy. No one's marketing that. They're just marketing their eggs with this number on it.
Yeah.
But then that Tassie Devil one, we're donating 30 cents, making sales, competing with a much lower cost base because they've got 10,000. Like, that's 10 times the hens.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're promoting that message. So I guess the point is there. Well, 2 points. One, by donating, you can be seen as being nice, but you can also be seen as profiteering.
Mm-hmm.
So you be a little bit careful with that and being accountable. I'll talk about thank you. I think that's one that I've noticed. But then it's also promoting the bits that you do that everyone in the industry mentions, but no one really talks about what it means. And we were at a local cafe before the podcast, and I just asked out of interest, what are your thoughts on eggs? Like, what's your buying decision for eggs? Is it price? Is it quality? Is it conditions? What is it? And they got a story about how a local owner was really upset during COVID because they had to kill 1,000 hens, like mortified, because it was before their time, you know. But the demand wasn't there and they didn't have the feed and all that sort of stuff, so it just wasn't going to work. But the quality is really good. They've got an indoor-outdoor environment. They've been there. Her son's gone out there. They really like it, and that's why they go. But that egg brand, I've never seen that communicated whatsoever in their advertising. But that would be a really cool story, and that's the reason the cafe uses them.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you. So thank you is a brand. What do they sell now?
They do personal hygiene products.
Yeah.
So
body washes, soaps.
Yeah.
Just toilet paper as well.
Let's have a look. So personal care, cleaning, and baby products.
Mm. So this is just my opinion from my experiences. It's not. I don't know their business super well, but we watched a show and it was about the thank you company. And it was talking about how they wanted to be low cost, so they got the space in the supermarkets, prime shelf, middle of the height, and basically we're going to make soap, we're going to do all these things, we're going to do it for a low cost, and we're going to donate back to people. And a big part of it was that on the bottle you could see, you could scan a code, and it showed you how the money that you just spent was getting used. I thought, that's just awesome. But then 4 or 5 years later, and this is, I'm not having a crack at thank you, but every time we've bought a body wash, you scan the code or there's no code there and it says code not available. So what is that telling me as a consumer?
That it's stopped or the money's going to them.
Yeah. Or they don't want to show it. Probably none of those things are true, but that's where you've got to be a little bit careful sometimes with unconventional ways. You don't want to be giving – you think, I'm going to do this because of all these great reasons, but you've also got to assess your market and talk to your clients. And I think it's important to get feedback and, you know, focus groups. That's why people do that stuff. What do people actually see when that happens? So now every time I look at that, and I'm a bit unique understanding a bit of theory, right, it says code not available. I'm like, well, they had that system years ago. Why did they just stop doing it? And why haven't they updated their packaging?
Yeah, it's in the sense that you just need to be really accountable to yourself if you're choosing to go down that road. Social impact is awesome. I think if you have the position, the power, the stand that you can use your business to just make a bit of a positive impact.
100%.
And your customers are going to get around that too. Whether that be supporting a local sports player, or whether that be supporting in a big organisation, in doing that, you do have to keep yourself accountable and make sure that you're all following.
Transparent.
Yeah, transparent. That's the word I'm looking for.
That's the key.
Yep, so make sure that you're transparent. And I think you can do it really well. I don't think it's that much of an effort.
No, not at all. And it's great to give back. Like, you're creating that value they wouldn't have had. They wouldn't have got that money if you hadn't done that.
Yep.
So it is a good win-win.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to go about business. So yeah, definitely encourage that one.
So just thinking about more general, because we're talking about one particular case, which is cool. That was just a case study to discussion today. But, you know, they're looking for a bit of synergy, something that's going to help one another. So everyone uses toilet paper and everyone wants to give back. Well, most people do. So they're looking for something people can get behind, and they haven't just gone, okay, well, that's TV or that's this, that's the standard thing people are doing. They've gone, well, how can we get to our customers in a way that they would like to do something that's not even related to us whatsoever? It's not essential to their business, doesn't mean anything, it's unrelated. And they've turned that into some great value for I guess, the world as a whole, plus also their business, and then for the day-to-day lives of their customers, because they'll go like, oh, I'm part of something bigger and I'm getting these nice pictures. You know, there's lots of little bits of happiness there.
Yeah, a lot of businesses would think, oh, well, we'll just make our products higher quality or our service just a little bit faster.
Yeah.
When you could think outside the box and just go, well, maybe our customers want something else or they care about something else. And that's why it's important to do a customer profile, help understand what it is that they're actually interested in.
Correct.
You know, you might be, your customer base might be young families or middle-aged families, and so you've got to think about what they're doing at that stage of life and how can you interact with them through that, whether you be a roller door company or an electrical company or a construction company. I'm just going trades, but as in if you're a construction company and your primary audience is young families, you're not going to be wanting huge open staircases. The kids are just going to like roll straight down them. Like, you've got to think about the small things, but then you can also think about, well, they're going to footy games and what are important for those kids' footy games. Like, and then think about the charities and the organizations that are around that and think about how that can relate to your business. So just got to do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of creative.
Just like top of my head being creative for a second is like, oh, if you're a building company, you're focusing on young families. Well, what if you did like a deal where everyone gets this free playground?
Yeah.
You can make some really cool ones. Like, you make one in your own backyard and then put a little video up and everyone will be like, wow, that's sick.
Yep.
You know, it's going on their mortgage. It's probably, you know, the price difference getting lower. The fact is you're focusing on families and they can see how you're doing that to a house. Like, it's something, it's not about the playground. It's just that they see you've thought about a family before they came to you.
Yep.
Which has some perceived value. And I think that's going back to the toilet paper, that nice packaging that looks pretty, that's not worth anything at all. It doesn't make your bum feel better when you're wiping it, but it is perceived value that people are happy to pay for, because at that moment, that little add-on, they're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I wondered how they got to that stage, and the way I think maybe the thought process might have been, they think about the people that sit there and read things, like the people traditionally read their newspaper or news magazines, which then turned into the phones, and then like everyone always laughed about the fact that if they didn't have their phone on the toilet, what are they going to read?
Yeah.
And one of my friends was like, I read every single toilet paper wrapping, and I was like, wow, you must have had a fun time. Like,
Reader's Digest must have made a lot of money about being the toilet paper reading, you know, back in the day. Yeah. But, yeah, like you see, it could also be that that's the time the customers see their product. So let's think about the buying decision. They're signing up to a subscription, so they've got the process, they've got the credibility, they've got the trust, they've got all the nice stuff. But then after that, you're getting a monthly bill and some toilet paper rocks up. So if it's in boring packaging, it's just toilet paper. You've forgotten about the donations. You've forgotten everything. You get a bill and you get toilet paper. So you've lost that whole fun of the brand. Yep. So having that cool little bit on the outside, it's like it's not essential to anything, but it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's this company and they do this.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome.
So it just adds to the whole package.
Yep. Yeah, so I think the key takeaways here is just be a bit creative and think outside the box.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities that your audience will appreciate.
Yeah.
That you might think just to be really simple.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth at least giving it a shot.
Yeah. And it just goes back to every time we talk about marketing, but knowing who your customer is, knowing what you want to communicate, but people are people. Whether they, you know, have $1 billion or they have 10, they're still a person. Yeah. So what treat do those people, like treat them like one and talk to them like one, and you know, what can you do to make their life better? Just think outside the box.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Thank you very much for sitting and listening in, or doing whatever you're doing while you're listening. We'll talk to you on the next podcast.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.